This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here tonight, Ian Pickles from here.
Johnny Big Finger. For those of you who are watching our video stream, I'm sitting next to the camera that's pointed at Pecos Mountaineer, and I was pointing at the camera as it was pointed at me, and then when it switched over to Pecos, I moved my hand over, and it looks like a giant finger was pointing at his camera.
Yeah, very Monty Python-esque, I think.
And then I just threw my phone on the ground, and it bounced around.
So we were talking about freedom of speech under attack here in the United States. For those of you just tuning in, a couple guys have been found guilty of creating a metal and creating and promoting a piece of metal with a drawing on it. They've been accused of distributing machine guns.
This is the worst metal story I've ever heard.
Yeah, no kidding. And they may be going to prison over that one, likely, because it's multiple felony counts of distributing machine guns and conspiracy and things like that. And that led to a conversation about other ways that the federal thugs are attacking freedom of speech and, of course, the proposed ban on TikTok, which is actually much larger. It's actually a proposed restrict act, which would restrict various different or potentially restrict various different aspects of freedom of speech on the internet.
Which they've been trying to do. So
they have.
Right, I can't remember all these.
They needed an enemy.
Yeah, and the restrict is absolutely the next SOPA and PIPA.
Mm-hmm.
And let this be a lesson to you. If you think that juries will be sane, they were convinced that a tiny strip of flat metal was a machine gun.
Yep.
Think about that.
They were.
The next time you think, oh, I'm sure a jury wouldn't convict someone for X.
Right.
Idiocracy was not a documentary. It was a prophecy.
Mm,
yeah, and you would hope. Yeah, I mean, you would at least hope that out of 12 people, one of them would have some basic understanding of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, the idea of...
What, did they filter out every serviceman? Right? Every, you know, anybody who's ever shot anything? They were, oh, no, you can't be on this jury.
They might have.
Because you know how they have those
filters?
It wouldn't
surprise me.
They wouldn't let anybody who even touched cryptocurrency be on your jury.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So we continue here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. And oops, I just hung up on Jet.
No!
Sorry, Jet. Call back. I hit the wrong button there.
What have you done?
You let Ricky ramble on and promote Beard Talk Live, but you hang up on Jet.
He'll call back. He's already there, in fact. So we're going to go to...
All right, Jet. You know the scoop. You better promote Beard Talk Live or Ian's going to hang up.
He's
on
quick
you.
On that callback, too. Thank you, Jet. You're on Free Talk
He's
Live.
He's as quick as a Jet.
Jet, there you go. What's up, Jet? Go ahead.
As a jet monkey. Yeah, they've been trying to interfere with all kinds of rights and things.
Well, they've been succeeding.
Yeah, not just trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worst part. I've been gearing up to do one of these what they call a First Amendment auditor things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got my equipment. I've made up some postcards. I've even made up a little ticket that, you know, how cops love to give you tickets. Well, I thought I'd give them a ticket and list out all the different offenses that they've accomplished as far as obligating, or no, I'm sorry, what do you call it, violating my individual rights.
I love that.
That's great, Jet.
Yeah, we had that years ago. We called it the Peace Ticket and posted it over at the Shire Society forums at forum.shiresociety.com. It was the exact same concept. You have, you know, little check boxes next to all the violent things and the threats that the police would do, and you could leave it on their cruiser if you wanted to.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to reference the National Robbery Day, you know, this last week, which was the 15th post to the 18th.
Oh, you know, right. What bugs me the most? Extortion Day.
Yeah, Extortion Day. I mean, millions of people went and did their duty and dropped off their forms and all that kind of thing, their so-called duty. But what bugs me the most,
Well, if it makes you feel better, 40% of Americans didn't.
I know. I thought it was more than that, but
It was last year.
I'm included.
Or the year before
last. I'm included in that percentage for sure every time for decades now. But
nice.
What bugs me the most is when people say they have to file their taxes.
Mm.
It just kind of digs into me, and I go, and I have to stop them. I mean, these are not your taxes. These are taxes created by some other crazy person somewhere, some psycho who believes he has the power to demand that you pay him. Now, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but if you take a look at tax law, you'll find that each taxation or each, decree of taxation begins with words similar to this. There is hereby imposed upon blah, 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 blah. So it doesn't say we hereby impose. It doesn't say it is hereby imposed. There is hereby imposed, which means that they don't even want to sign on to their own corruption, their own robberies.
Yeah, they won't even admit agency while they steal you blind.
Yeah, because the people who write these things, in many cases, are way dead. And the ones that are imposing them are just taking up the mantle of something that's gone way before.
Yep.
But I wanted to also mention that this thing we call taxation is actual slavery. When you give your time and energy, when someone demands that you give your time and energy to them against your initial will or your desire, that to me is called slavery.
Yeah, without your consent is the terminology there. When somebody takes your life force, your life effort without your consent, that is slavery.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call in. You know, I keep, whenever I call in, I keep getting to my final point, and then I'm running out of time, so I thought I'd make it short tonight.
Thank you, Jet, for the call. Well, I appreciate it, man.
Hold on.
Because
I wanted to see if he would sign off. I came up with a new idea for a terminology: politicians and police. You know, because we talk about government, but what it really comes down to is the politicians telling them what to do,
yeah,
and the police that
doing
inform.
It. Yeah, that's true.
The police that enforce it, and you know, if politicians and police became enough of a known thought, I could just shorten it to Popo.
Let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
My name is Shirley, and I live in Athens, Tennessee. I've been listening to you now for a couple of months, and
right,
I just want to ask you a question.
Please.
It's taken me a little while to understand what you're really talking about. But anyway, I want to know, I heard somebody say this last night, that we didn't need a government. How are we going to function without some kind of control if we don't have a government? And
voluntarily.
I'm going to hang up and let you
answer that question. You don't have to hang up. I think we prefer to actually have a conversation with you about it.
Okay, all right.
What were you saying there, Peekless?
Yeah, voluntarily is how we would function. So a lot of people imagine that without the government there to do these things, to keep order, to resolve conflicts, to
act
build
as a
roads,
database of sorts for
right.
title of your house and car, stuff
right,
like that.
To keep records,
yeah.
to ensure safety of given areas, that these functions would not be performed. And we absolutely want all of these functions to get performed. It's just that instead of having one service that you automatically have to pay for, performed by one group that is already chosen before you were born just because you happen to be born in a particular place, instead of that, have different people offer that service at whichever price they can offer it at.
And do it voluntarily. The problem with the organization known as government today is that it exists in violation, again, of consent. Right. I never signed up for anything. They never approached me and said, hey, we got this really great idea where we're going to monopolize these services and we're going to force you to pay for them whether you like it or not. That sounds good. Sign here. Right. They never approached me to do that. They do not have my consent. They have never asked for my consent. I have never given my consent. Not freely, at least.
What do you think, Shirley?
Well, I still don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying that we shouldn't have elected officials the way we do today, or...
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, we have elected officials to, like, help feed the poor. Well, they're also doing all of these other things, I would rather, and, you know, it's a lot more efficient if you just have private charities doing these things. So when feeding the poor gets done by government, it's about 80% administration fees and 20% actually goes to the poor. And when you have charities doing this, because they have to compete with other charities.
You mean when the government gang doesn't arrest the charities
right.
for trying to feed the poor, which is happening in cities all across the United States. You mean when they're allowed to actually
right, exactly. When they're allowed to actually perform these things, it's about 20-80, where 20% of it goes to administration and 80 to the actual cause, because they have to compete with other people who also want you to give them money to feed the poor.
And I think something that might help Shirley, I don't know how old you are, Shirley, but I'm 50. And
I'm 82.
Okay, right. So something that might help you understand why we think the way we do and are saying the things that we're saying is because I have seen personally, and you have too in your lifetime, that when government gets out of the way, there is innovation and prosperity. And I'll give you an example that you can appreciate. Look at the telephone company. Back in the day, there used to be one, and it was controlled by the government. And then one day, somebody was like, this is a bad idea, we should... you know, split these things up. And so they split in. We had the long distance wars. We had the advent of cell phones. We had the advent of pagers. And then, of course, the big one was the internet. Now, all of these things would have taken far longer to be invented had the government maintained its monopoly on the telephone company, the singular telephone company. But since the government got out of the way, we were able to see a whole bunch of different providers come in. All of a sudden, you got better service, you got better rates, you got more technology, more progress, and more human prosperity. And so whenever government releases anything they have a monopoly on, humankind does better.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, and I've seen better government in my years than we're having today, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to understand exactly what you guys were talking about when you said no government.
Does that help?
I couldn't quite understand how we were going to function without some somebody to keep everybody in line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as far as, like, keeping everybody in line, so one of the big issues that you run into is, so, like, some people believe that abortion is murder, and some people believe that it isn't murder. So, and we just can't come to a conclusion on this. So what you'd end up having is you'd have, okay, well, over in this area, that is treated as murder, and over in this area, that is treated as not murder, and you could just agree to live with the people that believe what you believe, so that the people around that are enforcing those ideas are going to enforce the ideas that those people believe.
I think what the captain was also kind of getting at here, Shirley, was if you can see that getting the government out of the way of something like the phone company can make things better, how competition brought in makes things better, the free market, or at least a less restricted market, gives people more options, lower prices, better choices, better service, then the idea would be, let's apply that to the things that the government is still monopolizing, such as defense, because it sounds to me like one of the concerns you have, rightfully so, is people being protected, people, you know, being able to walk the street safely, that kind of thing. And we know that the government monopoly that we have, the government police, they're just not that great at this. Okay, they're not going to be there most of the time to help you out if you're ever in need. Hopefully, I mean, it sounds like you're in Tennessee, so you probably have the right to bear arms that's fairly unrestricted in Tennessee. Some places you can't even have a gun. And, you know, those places have high murder rates, like Chicago and places like that. So we see how, even with the government monopoly system, there's ways to kind of loosen things up. But the idea I think the captain's promoting here is, if we didn't have the one-size-fits-all government police that everybody had to fund, whether they do a good job or a bad job, and we actually had different protection agencies offering different levels of protection. Maybe you need 24/7 security. Maybe you need just some good locks on your door and somebody to call in an emergency. Or maybe you need something in between that. We would have those options in a freer marketplace. And I think that's kind of the idea there.
Exactly.
Okay. I appreciate your talking to me, and I will keep listening. And I really am pleased that somebody's talking about these things, because I don't think our government, the way it's run today, is done in a proper manner.
Hey, feel free to call when you have questions. If you're listening to this show, we're here 7 nights a week, from 7 to 10 Eastern. And
yes,
if you have,
all the time.
If you have more questions, feel free to call us again, okay?
Well, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Shirley.
And Shirley, one of the issues is that the government always gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically the problem that you have when there's no choice in the matter.
Well, that's why she said in her past, you know, earlier in her life, she felt like the government was a little bit better than it is today. And that's more evidence that it just keeps getting worse.
And it's likely because the government was much smaller. If she's exactly 80.
It gets bigger, and it gets worse.
Exactly.
And it gets more expensive.
Gets, the worse it gets. And, of course, you know, how expensive it is just a matter of how big it is.
We can talk about some money-related issues here tonight, because the expense is going to continue to grow, and there's some serious consequences that we're just now starting to feel economically because of that. But let's talk to Major Payne in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live, Major.
Good evening, gents.
Hey,
I want to touch on this little metal credit card here, but just on old Shirley's thoughts. And don't call me Shirley.
I was waiting for a moment to spring that one on. I thought it was a little too cheeky.
All right. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned.
No, better you than me.
Anyway, Captain, I'm surprised you weren't on the bow of that ship there. But anyway, a quick Ricky back. If I was a blind voyeur, would that not make me a hands-on individual?
Okay.
I imagine you could be an audio voyeur.
I think you probably could.
I might have to work on that. Anyway,
what else?
So,
you might want to spend your time doing something else.
Yeah.
As far as what Shirley was talking about, you know, a scant 100, 150 years ago, all of these tasks were pretty much taken on by the church.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Except for, you know, policing in real ugly towns and such.
Really? Well, the church did policing?
No,
you said except for policing.
Oh, except for policing. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, and so even the matter of policing, I mean, it was difficult to impossible to do the policing if you didn't have the acceptance of the church. Because as a king, you ruled by divine right. And once you had a Catholic church that everyone had agreed to, then if the Catholic church didn't say that you had the divine right to rule, then it would be really hard to maintain your position as a king. But
you had to be sanctioned more by the church than you did the king. Back in the day, the church was money lender to kings for to wage war with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've said for I don't even know how many times on this show, but even before this show, that religion is the first form of government.
Hmm. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that it became a lot better when we removed the exclusive powers from the church. Because she, you know, one of the things that seemed to surprise Shirley is that, well, we wouldn't be electing officials, which basically means that we wouldn't be giving special powers to certain individuals. And as soon as you're not giving special powers to certain individuals, it fundamentally changes society. But what we found through history is that when you stop giving these special powers, society gets better.
Turns out power corrupts.
I mean, we haven't had a crusade since we divided church and state.
Yeah, but there's still war.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right? We found that propensity was on the state side, not the church side.
And so
now the government is the church.
Yes, it is. That's a great point.
Yeah, the government is a religion. It's true. And so I think the next step, the next logical step to me would be the separation of money and state.
Right.
And we're getting there. They hate it. They're fighting it. Tooth and nail. Major, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Number here is 603-283-6160. So, Peekless Mountaineer, you wanted to talk tonight about 9/11, something that happened, what, 20-something, 21, 22 years ago at this point?
Wait, what happened 21 years ago?
There were some bombings. They ran some airplanes into some buildings in the United States. You've probably heard something about
it. Yeah, maybe.
So
I could remember the date.
There have been so many, you know, revelations, if you will, so many theories about 9/11 over the
years. Building 7.
Building 7. Yeah, Building 7, the third building that didn't get hit by a plane that also came down, they say, because of fire. Yeah, there are a lot of interesting questions, no doubt about it. Are you bringing something new to the table tonight after 23 years? I mean, color me skeptical here.
I feel you. And, I mean, to me, the most amazing thing about 9/11 was their ability to divide people against each other. Because instead
I thought everybody came together.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, everyone came together under the banner of the American flag for a while. But
well, they came together to turn against people in the Middle East.
Exactly.
I do have to say on that particular note, the day of 9/11, when it all went down, outside of everybody being glued to their television sets wondering what the hell was going on, that was probably the most peaceful day in the United States as far as, like, no crime happened that day. There was no crime. No, there were no burglaries. There were no armed robberies. There was no murders. That kind of stuff.
Like, how do you know?
Well, because people report on that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, it turns out.
The reporting would have been wall to wall 9/11.
And throughout that. No, later on, right? People go back and they compile statistics, right? And they go, oh, look at this. Like,
so you're saying the statistics actually show it.
Actually show that the day of and probably a couple of days after, like, there was, like, it was, like, even in, like, Chicago, there was no shootings.
Wow.
You can believe that.
Wow. Yeah, but what I was saying is that the entire, like, 9/11 truth movement just everyone who was, let's call it skeptical of the official story, what with it, say, not mentioning Building 7 at all, and deciding that where the money came from didn't matter, things like that, was maybe not on the level, not telling the whole truth, or just outright 100% lying to us.
Certainly.
Well, instead of us all binding together and being like, look, you might think this happened, I might think this happened, but what we know for sure is what didn't happen, and it's the official story.
No doubt.
Instead of that happening, they were very effective at dividing us all against each other. You know, they released this idea of, oh, well, we might have put certain informants into your ranks on the internet just to sow dispersion. And then all of a sudden, everyone's accusing everyone else of, oh, you're a government agent, you're a shill because you don't believe my exact version of events.
Hmm.
And instead of this being a unifying against the lie kind of moment, we all divided against each other. But I have something new officially on the official side of the story that has recently been released about 9/11.
All right, we're going to find out what that is coming up here, and you can also share your thoughts with us on whatever happens to be on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. Great call from Shirley, by the way. I always love getting questions from people, so and also hearing from people who aren't the regulars. More coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. President Biden is closing in on his re-election bid. White House aides suggest it could happen as early as Tuesday. Biden has repeatedly made it clear he plans to run for a second term, but has stopped short of making it official. Republican presidential hopefuls are making their pitch to conservative voters in Iowa this weekend. More than a half dozen current or likely GOP candidates, including former Vice President Mike Pence, are taking part in the Iowa Faith and Freedom Coalition spring fundraiser on Saturday. Beachgoers in parts of Southern California will have to find other means of cooling off. An estimated 250,000 gallons of sewage spilled into the Los Angeles River and out into the Pacific Ocean. Crews have been working to clean up the mess, and health officials are monitoring the water quality to determine when they can reopen. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You got Ian Picos Mountaineer and Captain Kickass here in the studio. Hey, you can join us online as well. Just head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that we have there for you. Also, if you want to learn more about the really awesome things happening here in New Hampshire, in the whole freedom migration that has been going on for about two decades now, turns out when you bring freedom lovers together into the same geographic area, you concentrate their action in a small, low population state, they can actually make a difference. And the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate are going to show you how that's been happening in a series of webinars.
Love these guys.
They're going to be holding, and you can get your seat. It's free. Just register over at move.freetalklive.com. That takes you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate website, to the registration page. You can sign up for different seminars. They're going to cover different topics. So one of them is going to be all about gun freedoms, another about medical freedom, another about political freedom victories. They'll have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing, as you would expect from Porcupine Real Estate. Very, very helpful stuff. And you can actually see what they've already been doing by visiting the Porcupine Real Estate YouTube channel. You can see past webinars there. So it'll give you a taste of what to expect. But go get signed up for the upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com. All right. So, Peakless, you teased us with the idea that there's some sort of new thing to talk about with regards to 9/11. What did you find out?
Bombshell filing, 9/11 hijackers were CIA recruits.
What?
At least two 9/11 hijackers could have been recruited into a joint CIA-Saudi intelligence operation that was covered up at the highest level.
Read that again.
According to new explosive court filings.
Read that sentence again.
At least two 9/11 hijackers had been recruited into a joint CIA-Saudi intelligence operation.
Hold on a second. Didn't Osama bin Laden also work for the CIA at one point in the past?
Yeah. He did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and the whole, before, I think during the Reagan era, there was something that became known as the Afghan Freedom Fighters.
Yes, they were fighting against the Russians.
Right.
Or the Soviets.
Mm-hmm. Same group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they were heroes back then.
Correct. Same group of people, two different labels, one government.
That's when they got a lot of the weapons from the United States government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and so the CIA had just trained them how to defeat an empire. And wouldn't you know it, they just kept defeating empires. Which is...
they got a real winning track record.
Yeah, at least is, and Afghanistan in particular, this is the graveyard of empire for a reason.
Yeah, and it's historically accurate.
Yeah.
Empires go there to die.
How many years after the Soviet conflict did the Soviet Union fall?
Ooh.
I'll have to look that one up.
It was real
Not
close.
Not too like, long, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those were like head and head, yeah.
Okay. So these guys also, is some sort of court filing you were saying?
That's right. A newly released court filing raises grave questions about the relationship between Alec Station, which is also known as the Bin Laden Issue Station. Hang on.
Wait, so you're telling me now, just by reading this article, that yet another sort of fire starter of war was caused by the U.S. government?
Well, not just the U.S. government, specifically the CIA.
Specifically the CIA. So I'm thinking, like, Gulf of Tonkin. Mm-hmm. Is this comparable?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. So... 50-50 on this one, because, like, I hear about this, and it's like, okay, what's really going on here? Now, one thing, I am shocked and amazed that, like, it is becoming okay to talk about the CIA in regular media now, and in court, and that sort of thing. Like, that astonishes me. On the other 50 of it, though, I do see this as a potential step to gear people in America up for war against Saudi Arabia. Because, I mean, if you look into just, like, the official 9/11 hijackers, and the vast majority of them are all Saudi Arabians. But here's the thing. We have had this, we've had this situation where the United States and Saudi Arabia have been hand-in-hand on the petrodollar.
Right.
But here we have Saudi Arabia saying, you know, I don't think we're going to be with you guys anymore. We're going to go find our own trade partners. You know what? We're going to trade liquid natural gas, not quite oil, but petroleum products for not U.S. dollars. What do you think about that? And, you know, just poking the bear.
You going to invade us?
Right. Exactly. Because, well, the U.S. government was facing so much pushback from, you know, assassinating American reporters in the region that they started to pull back and be like, okay, well, we won't actually commit genocide for you. We'll just help you do it by, like, giving you all the information, refueling your planes, that sort of thing. You know, secondary assistance of genocide. And Saudi Arabia is like, not good enough. You promised that you would be our club to beat our enemies over the head with, and we would back up your absolute nonsense of a dollar with being only able to trade our oil in it. And so that tension has led us to this point where I think that they are slowly but surely gearing us up for the possibility of war against Saudi Arabia.
Never mind that the U.S. has more oil than anybody else.
Yeah. Never mind the fact that it's the U.S., then Russia, then Saudi Arabia.
Don't you think that Russia or China might have something to say if the United States tries to invade Saudi Arabia?
Do you really think that that's going to slow America down? I mean, everything that I see in the papers tells me that America is perfectly happy to go to war with China and Russia simultaneously. I mean, all of it.
Well, they're talking tough about it. That's for sure.
Talking tough. Okay, I'm glad I get to segue into this. So the Pentagon leak that just happened.
Yeah, the 21-year-old Discord guy who allegedly did it.
Okay, so now we have about as good a proof as you can possibly expect that American troops are in Ukraine. Okay,
yes.
We have boots on the ground, a red line,
yeah,
and I am astonished I get to talk to you about it because I haven't been nuked off the face of the planet. Thank you, Putin, for being less of a monster than I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're referring to the, I think it was like 90-something, 80 to 90, allegedly, right? At least in the papers that were released by this alleged 21-year-old in Discord who people are still saying, how did he get access to this in the first place, right? But regardless, yeah, so that's what they claimed, was that there were special forces
right
that were in Ukraine
right
by both the U.S. and the U.K. and maybe some other countries.
Yeah, so you have absolutely no indication of the United States having any line that it is not willing to cross when it comes to Ukraine and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're firing depleted uranium shells into that place. Those don't ever go away. You can't clean that up. Like, this is permanent. You are permanently destroying the breadbasket of Eurasia. And they're cool with that. Boots on the ground? No problem. The most modern American military equipment? Sure thing. Let's give them jets. Okay, great. You are absolutely doing everything in your power to get us all killed. And at the same time, Biden has very specifically stated that he is willing to defend Taiwan against China.
That's right.
And none of this, like, halfway, half and half sort of, we'll give you the tanks, we'll give you the military equipment, we'll give you the money to buy the military equipment from us. No, 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 no. We will just straight up defend it with the American military.
Aren't they already floating battleships, like, in the region or something like that?
Wouldn't surprise me.
And you, the listeners to this program right now, you're footing the bill, footing every dime of it, every murder that's committed on that soil, is you're funding it. You're funding it involuntarily, but you are funding it nonetheless.
Well,
and you have a way out. You've been given a way out. Technology has given you a way out, and you still spend their murder dollars instead of spending freedom dollars.
Yeah. At this point, I wouldn't even say it's involuntarily. Look, you have the capacity to stop. And if you haven't taken one step toward learning what cryptocurrency is and how it works, then this is your fault. You are the ones goose-stepping us toward the oblivion at the end of the world.
I can't work an app. Yes, you can. You have a bunch of apps on your phone already. Using cryptocurrency is no different. There's a bit of a learning curve. That's it. Get over it and get on it.
Yeah. And the fact is that this is getting easier and easier and more powerful and more effective. And it's not like you have to take a hit to your finances because you put some money into Bitcoin. Far from it.
Might help you.
Exactly.
We can't promise anything. You never know what the price is going to do. But over time, it's tended to go upward. You know, since you mentioned China and the Middle East, I just wanted to look to see if there's any recent news. And there's a story from the Wall Street Journal yesterday that China has actually been investing in the Middle East. So in addition to them trying to persuade Saudi Arabian government, for instance, to take yuan for barrels of oil, they're also buying up energy companies, or at least stakes in them. Last week, China bought its first stake in a Qatari gas field when a state-owned China Petroleum and Chemical Corporation, known as Sinopec, acquired a 1.25% share in the first phase of a $30 billion liquefied natural gas project.
Hmm.
The stake followed another deal with Qatar Energy in November to supply 4 million tons of liquefied natural gas each year to China, an amount that would equate to a little more than 6% of China's imports. So they're throwing some serious money around over there in the Middle East, and the speculation is, and I don't think it's particularly speculative, is that China's going to use this economic ownership rights that they have to negotiate to say, hey, how about we pay you in yuan for this liquefied natural gas? How about we pay you in yuan for the oil that's being dealt out? So they're definitely getting a much more strong economic piece of the action over there.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
One other sign, if you will, that the United States government has no problem going to war with China or whomever, is the number of known military bases that have been built in the last, 25 years, right? We're over 600, right? The most that has ever existed for any empire in all of Earth's history.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not building them in your state. They're building them in other countries.
Right. Yeah, and I've been talking about this for a good long time, that the Rubicon to get crossed is as soon as they sell one drop of Saudi oil for anything other than US dollars, whether it's yuan or cryptocurrency or euros or whatever, and it very much looks like it's going to be yuan at this point. But the second that gets done, this whole house of cards that is the global financial system collapses. And I guarantee you something else that will happen that day is that they will gear up or announce the war against Saudi Arabia. They will either begin a massive push toward it, or they will just start doing it. It turns out that all the hijackers were Saudi Arabian. I don't know why we didn't investigate this 20 years ago, but we investigated it today, and it looks like we just got to go after Saudi Arabia. And that's, I think, been part of how this has lasted as long as it has, is that Saudi Arabia, I mean, they negotiated for access to America's military, so they're very well aware of what that means. And as part of that deal, if they ever turn on the U.S., then that military gets turned against them.
Other headline from less than 24 hours ago, Putin and the Saudi Crown Prince are discussing potential BRICS-Saudi Arabia collaboration. There was in the news earlier this year that Saudi Arabia is seeking admission to BRICS. And for listeners that don't know, BRICS is sort of the other big group of countries out there. There's the G7, which is like U.S., Canada, Japan, Europe, you know, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But they may add another S to the end of it here if Saudi Arabia
BRICS
jumps in. And according to the story of Bitcoin or news.bitcoin.com, the Russian president and Saudi crown prince discussed potential collaboration between Saudi Arabia and BRICS just this week. In addition, Putin and the crown prince expressed satisfaction with the level of coordination at OPEC Plus aimed at ensuring the global oil market stability. And as you may recall in recent weeks, OPEC Plus announced that they were going to be cutting the number of barrels of oil by like 1.5 million per day, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, just the time that Biden is literally trying to ask them to increase it.
And running for re-election.
Mm-hmm. Well, and basically what you see here is exactly what you'd expect from a chimpanzee troop. So if you have, because they have a very specific pecking order, right? This is the top of their food chain. This is the height of their totem pole, right? And that one gets all of them to do what he wants and gets first access to resources, all of that. So that is the United States, which is the number one producer of oil in the world. But here's the thing, in a monkey troop, or in a chimpanzee troop, when the dominant male becomes intolerable, starts beating up on everyone and slapping the females around and, you know, all of these things, what happens is that two or more of the next biggest ones will just team up on him and tear him apart. And that is exactly what you're seeing here. The number two and number three producers of oil are teaming up to tear apart the number one chimp.
So I've had, sitting in show prep here, and since we're talking about it, a brief video from Peter St. Ange, who is a guy that works with the Mises Institute. He's a doctor, and you know he knows some stuff about this economic stuff. He's very well informed. I've been following
him. Had some real nice content recently.
Yeah, really on target with, and he puts out like one video a day. And this is one that actually addresses the BRICS situation. So I've actually been holding on to this for a couple of weeks, and I think this is a good time to bring it out. This is his video on will BRICS challenge the dollar, because there's been talk that BRICS, because, yeah, we've heard about the yuan. Maybe that's going to get used as the petro yuan or whatever. There's been talk about that for a long time. China's trying to negotiate things like that. But what if BRICS actually cooks up its own multinational currency together? Mm-hmm. And they've been discussing that. So here's what Anj has to say about it.
Hey, guys. There's some news in the dollar. Last week, Egypt joined the BRICS Development Bank, the gateway drug to the BRICS grouping seeking to replace the United States as economic and financial linchpin of the world. It's another brick in the wall. Beyond the founding members, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, everybody gets a letter, about two dozen countries are either formally joining or expressing interest, including Argentina, Nigeria, and Mexico. Now, the Development Bank doesn't mean these countries are going to be colonies of China. It's mainly access to cheap loans, especially from China. So in a sense, countries are being paid to join. But once they're in, the goal of BRICS is to unite their political and economic muscle to diversify from dependence on the dollar and on the increasingly unreliable and bullying United States. So it's not quite as formal as the EU, but the goal is similar. A strong voice, independent of the U.S.
It's worth pointing out, I don't know if we did it on a Saturday show previously, but I found some chart online. It was actually, I think, coming out of India, where they looked at the economic strength of the BRICS nations together.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at the G7 nations together, and they looked over time to see what portion of, I think it was global GDP, if mm-hmm. I recall correctly.
Yeah, I've seen this chart.
Right. What portion of global GDP did the BRICS nations represent in total? And then what portion did the G7 nations represent? And what it showed was that they have been converging over time, meaning that the United States, Canada, Europe, these G7s have had their portion going downwards as the BRICS nations, China, India, Russia, etc., have been going upwards. And actually, they have now crossed.
Oh.
And it's like 30, I think if I recall correctly, it was like around the 30% range, essentially. And so, like, the U.S. G7 nations had gone down from like the 50-ish percentile, and the BRICS nations had gone up from like the 15 percentile mm-hmm. to the point where BRICS has crossed
mm-hmm.
the G7 as far as its economic GDP. Weight,
yeah.
The GDP.
Yeah,
so,
and keep
serious.
In mind, this is a 5-7 comparison.
What does that mean?
So BRICS, mm. that's five countries.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, that chart specifically only charted those five countries.
That's right.
Versus the G7, which was, I mean, basically it's the top of NATO, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So those seven countries versus these five countries, and just these five countries are now earning more of a percent of global GDP than the G7.
Something to definitely consider here, especially as BRICS is looking to add members potentially. I mean, the idea that they're going to be wielding some pretty serious economic weight, they already are. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, how long does this petrodollar stay on?
It's so weird to me to hear this discussion the way you guys are talking about it, because as you're talking about it, in my mind, I'm thinking about these two organizations, the G7 and BRICS. And it seems to me that these are just different groups of plantation owners.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
The G7 is a group of plantation owners.
They're all bad guys.
And yeah. the BRICS is also a group of plantation owners. And so we've got plantation owners uniting to sort of war against each other
mm-hmm.
economically, all based on extorting you, the listener, wherever you are, whatever country you happen to be in, whatever government you're paying tax to, likely if you're a westernized country, belongs to one of these organizations. And so your plantation owners, your slave masters, if you will, are fighting over how they're going to economically screw you better than the other group.
And that's part of what an extraordinary opportunity this is for humankind. So we have, if you look over history, it's like, okay, well, this was the dominant currency. Then that was replaced by this dominant currency. And, of course, in all cases, it's a country that runs that currency.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time, we have this unique possibility where, okay, yes, it might be that we might move to a world where the Asian Union currency that they're currently developing becomes the world reserve currency, and then we end up in exactly the same mess that we're in now mm-hmm. with a different tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could move to a completely neutral currency, one that isn't issued and controlled by any country or by any group of countries.
Talking about cryptocurrency.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
We could. Whether the world is ready to make that move yet, I guess only time will tell.
Right, and that's what I mean. It's an opportunity. And you, the listener, you right now have
the
a
individual.
Chance to make this difference. If you yourself put some amount of your value, your time, your effort, your skills, your savings into a global neutral currency, then we can move into a better world where we don't have to worry about nuclear obliteration every couple of years.
All right, meanwhile, we return to Peter St. Ange.
This matters because the BRICS combined are already nearly half the world's population, about 3.2 billion. Sorry, that was my cat. About 3.2 billion on the way to...
Cat walked in front of the screen.
4 billion with those new countries kicking the tires. Their combined GDP is 27 trillion, even in nominal terms, so that's higher than the U.S. And in PPP terms that control for local prices and manipulated currencies, their economies are twice the size of the U.S. already, and they're growing faster, so they're on their way to 3 times. So BRICS is definitely a challenge to U.S. dominance, more than the EU will ever be. The question is, will BRICS also be a challenge to the U.S. dollar? Because one strategic goal of BRICS is to build a currency to rival the dollar. In the near term, countries in the BRICS are more likely just to use their own currencies to replace the dollar, for inter-BRICS trade at least. Still, remember that's nearly half the world. And if they could develop a euro-like common currency, especially if China's willing to take one for the team and effectively subsidize usage of the new currency, that's what they do with the yuan, then they could be an actual contender. I think most people sort of knee-jerk dismiss poor country currencies as if they're just bad at money, but quality of a currency has nothing to do with per capita income. It's based on the prudence of monetary policy. So is the currency a good store of wealth or is it inflationary? And whether the currency is used to bully other countries on foreign policy or even domestic policy like the U.S. does.
We're going to continue here. I just got a few more thoughts. I'll share that on the potential coming dominance of BRICS. Economically, it sounds like they're already very, very strong. And you know, will they come out with this proposed currency, this international currency? Well, it's probably going to take some time because they are governments. They don't move very fast. But it's interesting to think about the consequences. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.